we're basically in a debt spiral. There's no escape. They're going to continue to print more money, and the middle class is going to continue to see our savings decimated. So really what we need is that we need a return to sound money. And that's what Bitcoin is. It's a 21st century return to sound money. It takes about 2.4 years from first hearing about Bitcoin to actually making your first purchase, which is a long time. 51% of people say that lack of education is the biggest barrier to Bitcoin ownership, and 76% of people rate the current state of education to be fair or poor. So there's clearly stuff we can do in this space, and that's what Jippy's about. We're trying to make it more accessible to beginners.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedman, and our guest today is Oliver Porter, who's recently released a Bitcoin education app with the goal of becoming the Pokemon Go of Bitcoin education. We're going to get to our interview with Oliver right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Oliver, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Josh. Great to be here.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and to give us some insight for our own lives. So you ready for these?
Yeah, go ahead.
Question number one is this: when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
So I was class of 2020, which is probably the most recent cohort of Bitcoiners. I think that COVID really woke up a lot of folks to totalitarianism, you know, and at that point in my life, I didn't really know what money was, and I was a slave to the state. I thought the government had my best interests at heart, which, you know, pretty naive of me, I think, but I was young. And then COVID happened, and, you know, governments of the world shut down the economy, closed businesses. I mean, they printed 40% of all money ever created in a single year, which is just mind-boggling to me. And that sort of, that prompted my research into Bitcoin and money in general. And so as I started with the best resources out there, you know, the Bitcoin Standard, which is probably the Bitcoin Bible, some call it, that really helped. And that helped me to learn more about the actual specifics of money, and that discovered the discovery around COVID money and where that stuff went. You know, it went straight into the hands of the rich. I learned that inflation essentially is a hidden tax on the general population, which occurs through inflation. I learned that 96% of the dollar's purchasing power has been reduced since 1913, when the Federal Reserve took over the dollar to finance World War One. So all this stuff was just the massive precursor to understanding Bitcoin, which is freedom money. So it's super exciting.
For sure. So question number two is, what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
Yeah. Bitcoin is tough, you know, because there's so many angles to approach it, so many ways you can understand it. And it's quite a heavy technical beast. But for me, I would say digital scarcity is really the magic behind Bitcoin. And so, you know, we Bitcoiners, we believe that Bitcoin is basically the biggest revolution since the internet. And that is for a few reasons. But to distill it down to one, it would be that Bitcoin is an absolutely scarce digital asset. And what do I mean by that? Well, basically digital files are just a collection of ones and zeros, and that's called bits or binary. And so if you copy the ones and zeros in the correct order, you essentially have control over that asset. So you really can copy digital files an unlimited amount of times. And we saw this problem in the 2000s with websites like Napster and Pirate Bay. You know, you could pirate so much content out there, digital content. And so with money, what you need is you want money to be scarce. You need it to be difficult to produce more of. And so that's vital so that it maintains its value across time. And today, money is basically just a collection of ones and zeros. So it's digital payments in a spreadsheet somewhere. And that spreadsheet just happens to be centralized. And so you have a central entity, a bank, who is the only entity that has control over that spreadsheet of who pays in and out of that spreadsheet, basically. And for money to operate effectively, you need two rules to be able to work. So one is you can't spend money that isn't yours. And two, you can't spend money that has already been spent previously. And the way that money operates today, like I said, it works effectively because you have one permission, but it can be easily corrupted. You have to trust the government not to debase the currency, which they've done multiple times. And just to tie this back into Bitcoin, well, how do these rules relate? Well, you can't spend money that isn't yours, because in order to spend Bitcoin, you need to know the completely random private key to that wallet. So it's basically impossible to guess. It's incorruptible. And two, you can't spend money that you have already spent, because instead of the spreadsheet being centralized, Bitcoin payments are maintained on a distributed database called the blockchain, and they're secured by cryptography. So what that means is, once the payments are on the blockchain, it's impossible to change. They are secured in time, this time frame, impossible, incorruptible. So it's magic. And I wish that people understood the ramifications of that, that Bitcoin is basically the hardest, scarcest form of money ever created. Mm. That's a long answer.
It's a long answer, but you broke it down in a very understandable way, which kind of foreshadows what we're going to be talking about today, which is a Bitcoin education app that you've created. Before we get to that, though, question number three is, what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
I mean, being founder and CEO of a Bitcoin education app, probably I would say Jippy, but we'll come on to that. I would say that there are some really good long form resources out there, like the Bitcoin Standard and other books. Podcasts are really good. Natalie Brunell was, I want to say, my introduction to very simplistic Bitcoin topics, because she makes it really accessible to beginners, which is really important. You know, if we are going to be approaching hyper Bitcoinization in the future, we basically need to improve education. And that's where resources like Natalie's podcast comes in, and yours as well. You know, we need to make this stuff easy to understand.
Yeah. Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work at Jippy recently?
We use a Lightning API provider called Jolts, and they are freaking awesome. If you imagine a fiat company that wants to integrate with Bitcoin payments, you can use Jolts, which is essentially just an API that does all of the custody for the Lightning nodes on their side. And so you just fling them an ID of some user and they'll give you back Bitcoin. So you can really quickly and easily reward users with Bitcoin. And we've obviously managed to implement this to help education and to actually reward our users with real Bitcoin. But you can do it in a multitude of areas. It's just an API. So they are fantastic.
And now we have, and by the way, we've interviewed Ian before on the show.
Oh, so, cool. Great.
Probably back almost 8 or 9 months ago. So if listeners are hearing this, they want to go back and listen, they can. They can scroll back, but it will be a little ways. Question number five, we call this our arbitrary but insightful question. And it's this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
I think this is a misnomer, because they are very similar. And I would say one is probably a precursor to the other. So for me, at least, I think why is important, because it gets you to understand the problem. As a software engineer, I solve problems all day, every day, but not just for my field. I don't know if you've heard of this framework called the five whys, but basically it enables you to drill down to what Elon Musk would say is the first principle or the core issue that you're trying to solve. An example of this would be, let's say, Jippy, and we were, why problem one, why number one, why are we not experiencing explosive growth? And then that question will lead into a follow-up, which is research. So the follow-up is research into discovering that perhaps a lot of users are dropping off. And then the second why is, why are users dropping off? And that will lead into research that discovers maybe we aren't providing education in a format that people want. And so you can keep on drilling down to the whys until you get to the core problem, which is hopefully something that you can actually solve. And you break that down enough, it becomes more accessible. So why, I think, is really important, because it helps you understand a problem. And then why not is probably just like a what the heck. Like, you might as well build this thing, because why not? What are the reasons behind this? Throw caution to the wind, prove the haters wrong, and just build something. You know, it's like an impetus. It's a battle cry to get movement to happen, I think.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at veluscommerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. Well, Oliver, we're here today to talk about your new Bitcoin education app, Jippy. We've you know, briefly discussed it in the last few minutes anyway, but I'd love to hear a little bit about it. We met, I guess it was probably March, maybe late February, but whenever the Pleb Lab Startup Day competition was, you were there. So this has been in development for a little while, but you've just in the last week or two actually officially launched it. So I'm excited to hear about a little bit more about what it is and how the growth has been so far.
Yeah. So Jippy is Bitcoin education for the masses. That's the slogan we're going for. And we're all about accessible, fun, friendly, interactive education. It's such an important problem, I think, to solve, in my opinion. Just to zoom out a second and talk about the current landscape. So, you know, America is $35 trillion in debt. That debt increases by a trillion every 100 days or so. And over the next 5 years, the government, every dollar that it spends, half of that is going to be spent towards servicing the debt. So we're basically in a debt spiral. There's no escape. They're going to continue to print more money, and the middle class is going to continue to see our savings decimated while we reward the rich. So really what we need is that we need a return to sound money, and that's what Bitcoin is. It's a 21st century return to sound money or digital gold. The issue is, though, it's quite complicated to understand Bitcoin, and it's like a multi-year journey. I did some research that shows that it takes about, on average, 2.4 years from first hearing about Bitcoin to actually making your first purchase, which is a long time. And that process is really challenging. So we did some research that tells us that basically Bitcoin education, it has an education problem. I mean, it's broken. 51% of people say that lack of education is the biggest barrier to Bitcoin ownership. And 76% of people rate the current state of education to be fair or poor. So there's clearly stuff we can do in this space. And that's what Jippy's about. We're trying to make it more accessible to beginners.
So who is this targeted for? Obviously beginners, but is there like a certain age range? And then also, what's the approach that you take? Because that, I feel like that's one of the most difficult things is people look out and there's like, you know, podcasts for days, books for days. Very few people are going to take time to sit down and read an entire book. What's the approach that you guys take, especially with the group that you're trying to reach?
Yes, really great question. So we are focusing on beginners as the headline category, and coming down from that persona would be a bunch of different folks. So we want to target the next generation of Bitcoiners, which is Gen Z, which is young millennials, people that are already probably starting to realize that the system is stacked against them. They can't afford a house. Groceries are crazy high. Their parents are struggling. So we want to find some way to make Bitcoin attractive to them. And the first phase of that journey was basically to build something that allows you to broadly understand fundamental Bitcoin topics while doing regular classes, online classes with your peers, and earning free Bitcoin rewards as part of that. And so that MVP is you mentioned it, it's currently live. We launched a couple of weeks ago, which is exciting. And that's really what we were trying to do as part of that top builder competition in Austin here, which is sponsored by PlebLab. They're amazing. So big shout out to those guys. But that competition really, it allowed us to build really quickly in a hackathon style and produce different tiers of content. So we'd have something really accessible, Instagram story, tap through content as the first tier. And then the second tier would be more broadly in-depth essay style with images. So to summarize, I would say that we're trying to make education that is really fun and friendly. And we do that through a variety of different approaches, including audio, written content, and Instagram style.
Mm-hmm. And what's the approach that you take to kind of help people feel like they're progressing along? Like, I feel like there are plenty of gamified apps that help people to do this, whether you're learning a language or you're learning some sort of new concept. There's a lot of thought that goes into this. I don't know if there's like a typical like state of the art approach when it comes to education apps, but how have you decided to help people feel like they're progressing along the way rather than being inundated with endless information?
Yes. So I would say that the golden star for this industry is probably Duolingo. They were really struggling back in the day and they had massive drop off, and they brought some head of product in who basically revolutionized the whole gamification sector. And what they're doing is just magical. I mean, they've transformed the whole application and it seems so friendly and inviting. So we're definitely thinking about ways we can do that. But as the first level, I would say to structure content in an easy way, we have islands of content. So you would join Jippy and you would see that there's a beginner island, which is really quick fire, 20-second topics that make it really, really high level for you to understand Bitcoin. And once you complete that island, we'll add some kind of nice congratulations and well done on your journey. Once you finish a beginner island, you would move to intermediate island, which is more broadly, more deep, more like proper topics. And that will help to actually solidify knowledge. So what we're trying to build is like this journey, and we want to be your orange pill journey through that stage. But we're doing a lot more. I mean, I can't speak to version 2 of the app quite yet, but we'll be in startup day September 20th. So very soon, and that's where we're going to be announcing some stuff around the gamification side. We want to build one of the most addictive and entertaining Bitcoin education games out there, so we're really excited.
That's great, man. I love that approach. I feel like the islands helps to, you know, people to conceptualize where they are and where they're going next. On that point, what are the things you actually start with? Like, what are the things that are most important? Is it different categories of money, technical, whatever else? Or do you just really start with like the nuts and bolts of how Bitcoin works? How have you decided, at what point people need to understand different things?
This is a really huge challenge. And this is probably why the Bitcoin journey is so long, because it's not linear. It's really this spider diagram of chaos, because what turns one person onto Bitcoin might not be the same as the other. From my side, I mean, I'm a libertarian now. So it's sort of like I was more bought into the freedom element. You know, I've come to believe that government is a parasite that leeches off the productive members of society while rewarding the rich. And so Bitcoin for me is the ivermectin to that parasite. So that was the angle that turned me on. But for other people, especially the younger folks, it could literally just be number go up. You know, you could see, you hear from all of your friends that everything is more expensive. No one could get a house. You see Bitcoin and this thing is yes, it wobbles around a little bit and the number may go up or down slightly, but you know, with $50,000, it's per coin. So just to see if you purchase a little Bitcoin and see that thing maintaining its value across time is a very powerful entry point. But to answer your question, it's going to be a hard challenge. We don't really know exactly what will turn someone on instantly because it's different for everybody, but we can have enough of a summary around what is money, why is it broken, why is it unfair, why is Bitcoin better, to hopefully start someone's steps on that path.
And what is the gamification element like? Is it every single lesson or step that you complete, you get some sats or spin the wheel? What's the approach you've taken that kind of help people to continue reaching those next levels and getting rewards?
Yes. So we will reward our users once they complete a path. So in an island, there's a little hexagonal path, and this path is the content. So after you complete a path, we'll reward you with 20 sats. And that is both on beginner island, and that's mastery island as well. So we have the Instagram style rewards you with sats. We have the more in deep dive paths that reward you in sats. And we have audio content, rather like snippets of podcasts, which will reward you in sats. So that's the MVP. That's the foundational reward system. But what we're building next is something that's going to be much greater. And I'm trying to not be too too detailed with my response here. But I think there's a lot of value to games that get people out and about in the real world. And there's lots of value around tying in Bitcoin and education to something that's competitive and that feels like you're in a tribe that's tribal. So yeah, we have some really, really cool stuff planned that I think will help us keep users sticky, and it will help keep people in the app, because that's the cool problem I think with education apps is once you finish your education, where do you go? You drop off, because there's not something that catches you after that stage. So Jippy hopefully will fix that problem with this game we're building.
If you feel like it's giving too much information, you don't have to answer, but it sounds like you're describing like the Pokemon Go of Bitcoin education.
Son of a gun. You caught me. So, yes.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, I remember when Pokemon Go came out, and I forget exactly what year. I want to say it was like 16, 17, because I was working at a university at the time, kind of like a transitional job after I got back from living in another country. And everyone was out playing it. And I don't see that as much anymore, but there are still people, like youth that I know, who are running around playing Pokemon Go. And even like the other week, I think like 30 or 40 people got together in a park playing Pokemon Go. So it has some staying power. I mean, we're talking 2016, 2017, and now it's 2024. So that's exciting. You don't have to speak to it too much. If you want to add something, feel free to. If not, we can go on to some other topics.
I will just say you're a very smart man, Josh. You're a very smart man, and you've caught on to drip feeding of information. But yes, we want to go down that route. We'll have more to say this month in Mexico City. But yes, that there is a lot of power to be had in in-person experiences that gets people together, that provides competition and educates you at the same time. So we're really, really excited.
I'm excited to learn more as well. So when it comes to the creation of Jippy, do you have an education background? Have you always had a passion for education? Or is it one of those things where you knew you wanted to build something and you looked around and saw that, man, education is a place where we could really continue to use some growth?
My background is in software engineering. So I've been a software engineer now for 5 years. But more broadly, I've been in the startup space for nine. And I've bounced around a few industries. One of those is education. And so when I was, I grew up in London, but I'm in the States now. But when I was in London, I worked for this education company called Makers Academy, and they were a programming bootcamp for software engineers. And they would teach people how to code in 12 weeks, which is no easy feat. I mean, it's pretty intense. And I worked for their admissions for 3 years. I was doing all of the interviewing. I was front of house, so I would interview all of the candidates. And through that process, I just realized the joy of teaching someone something new. I mean, these people would go on to get their dream jobs as software engineers, having no experience previously. So I think there's lots of magic that can be taken from that experience of educating beginners. That journey sort of led me to becoming a software engineer myself. Then 2020 happened, and I was thrown into the deep end, so to speak, and introduced to Bitcoin. So that's really my calling in my life. If there's any one thing I want to be doing, it's furthering hyper-Bitcoinization for humanity. And the way I'm going to do that is through fun education, basically.
At what point along the way, I think you mentioned 2020 as a key part of this, but at what point did you sort of begin to lean into the libertarian side of things? And then also at what point did you move to the States?
So I definitely heard early on about Bitcoin earlier than 2020. I heard whisperings of it around 2015 when I was working at Makers from my old boss. And at that point, I was like, I don't know what money is. I don't know why it's important. So that was the precursor to 2020. But yeah, just I think I've always had this innate anti-establishment personality, and I was a nightmare in school, so it's no wonder why I struggled. Authority figures really did hate me. So I've already had that drive in there. So really, to be what was essentially metaphorically strangled by society in that year when we were all forced inside, was an eye-opening experience, because it told me that the state has the most control out of any entity, you know. I mean, it's terrifying what they can do. So I think that freedom money is the only alternative to that, you know. And I try and have conversations with my friends around freedom and authority. And I think it's really going to come down to one of two choices in the coming years, you know, Agenda 2030. I really, really, really believe that you're going to have on one side a CBDC. So you're going to have centralized money that's taken out of the hands of the banks and given to central banks, or you're going to have Bitcoin, which is freedom money. So really, it's up to everybody to make that choice. And there is no way to sit this one out. You're going to have to pick one of the two. And I think that we're on the right side of history, to be fair.
And then did you come to the US for like Bitcoin opportunities, or was it just something totally separate? Because I know that we've interviewed a few people in the past who have moved from other countries to places like Austin or Nashville, because it's just like, if you want to build something, having the right people or the right connections around you is really important. And there aren't like tons of places like that in the United States for Bitcoin, but there are a few places that have been really key for people.
It was for a few reasons, I would say. Primarily, it was to escape the UK. I was born here, but I grew up in the UK, and they were one of the worst places to be in 2020, that period. And so I knew as soon as things were getting really dark and hairy, scary, that it was going to be Florida or it was going to be Texas, you know, the open places. I knew that they were going to be the last siege against authority and freedom havens. So I chose Texas because I have family here as well. And so I moved here in January of 22. So it's been a couple of years, and I'm unfortunately to say to my UK brethren, I'm not moving back. You know, this is where the guns are. This is where the freedom is. This is where Bitcoin is. And it's a magical place to be. I will also say that the Bitcoin community here in Austin is exceptional. You know, we have Unchained and the Bitcoin Commons, which is an accessible location if you want to work out of this space with other Bitcoiners. We have Pleb Lab, which is more of a hacker space if you're building on Bitcoin. So there is so much support here in Austin, as well as other locations in the US, like Nashville, for example.
Very cool. Well, it's been great learning more about Jippy. I'm looking forward to seeing the updates, and this will come out close to September 20th. Mm. And so I think it'd be really cool if you would share some final thoughts, as well as where people can go to get those updates soon after this episode goes live.
Yes. So just to explain the name, so Jippy, it means actual cost in Japanese, which is a very nice, beautiful way of saying that inflation is this hidden cost and tax on the general population. And Jippy is the solution to that problem. So we are a gamified social education app for beginners to earn and learn about Bitcoin with others. You can find us online at jippi.app. We are live in the App Store and on Google Play, so you can download the MVP today. We will be announcing some more exciting things in Mexico City, and you can find all the details online. We're on Twitter, Jippy App, and yeah, we're excited to tell you about what we've been working on.
And I guess one final thing, I should have asked this earlier, but after you make the announcements, how much longer before the app's updates will go live? Are they going to be like live as of September 20th, or are these things that will be done this fall or in the spring?
Yes. So I think at this stage, it's really just a preview as to where we're going. We would love to obviously get some registrations in, some pre-orders on some stuff we're working on too. But this will be a lead up into 2025 for Jippy.
Great. Well, Oliver, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Josh. You too.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Oliver, you can find those links down in the show notes. And be sure to keep up with what Jippy's doing in the coming days. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.